Well, thank you everyone for coming. My name is Tim Benrick. I'm with Microsoft. I'm a technical evangelist in the Chicago area. So some of you may have known me. I do office hours here and help companies talk about their architecture, talk about development issues, and talk mostly a lot about Azure. So I'm really excited to have the opportunity to host you all here tonight and to have DataStax here to talk about how to scale your app for the big time. So basically, today we're going to focus just a tiny bit on Azure. I'm going to talk briefly about what Azure is, and in case you're not familiar with it. And then we're going to have a Chicago startup, Clear Contract, come up, and Martin Schrey, who's a startup evangelist for Microsoft in Chicago, is going to talk to them about their startup, their development stack, and they are running on Azure and also Cassandra. So that's going to be a great chat and story for you all. And then we got Luke Tillman from DataStax. He's going to come up and talk about DataStax and Apache Cassandra running on Microsoft Azure. We'll have time for a Q&A. And I don't know if you saw the rotating deck. There's a survey link that if you complete that survey, it takes about 2 minutes. You can pull it up on your cell phone. We're actually going to pick a random winner, and you'll win a Dell Venue Pro. It's an 8-inch tablet. That's a pro operating system you can run. It runs a full version of Windows. You can, you know, run anything from Eclipse to Visual Studio to full versions of OS, whatever you want. So that's a pretty cool tablet. Just for taking 2 minutes on your cell phone. That link will be up again later. So I want to quickly thank 1871 for the space, obviously DataStax for coming and being our keynote and our guest speaker, and then also Michael Donnelly's here from Venture Connect, and we're going to give her a chance to talk here in a bit as well. So thank you, everyone. The local Microsoft team is here. My name is Tim Benrick, technical developer evangelist. I have office hours on the board, so if you are interested in what I say in the next minute and you're like, hey, I'd like to come in and talk to Tim, look for me there. We also have Martin Schrey over here. He's also has a lot of office hours Monday mornings, I think is his slot. So you can chat with either one of us. Adam Heckman, if you're doing anything about civic tech or anything around Chicago data, Adam's your man to talk to. He'd be interested in hearing from you. And we also have Megan with us from our marketing department, helped really pull this whole thing together. So thanks to everyone here. All right. So just by show of hands, how many people in here are running on Microsoft Azure? Anyone? All right, a few of them. That's great. So the goal for these next like three slides is for me to tell you what Azure is, and then hopefully more hands will raise the next time we do an event because it's really awesome and I like it. So Microsoft Azure is our public cloud platform. It's worldwide. It's got 19 data centers across the globe, 19 data center regions. So we have more data centers, but we have multiple data center regions. We have more than Amazon and Google, which is something that's pretty cool. So if you're looking to scale and have a global presence, Microsoft Azure is there for you. We also have both PaaS, Platform as a Service, and Infrastructure as a Service offerings for any device type. So if you're writing iOS apps, we have tools to help you send push notifications to iOS, to Android, to Amazon Fire, right? So we are not just for Microsoft devices. It's not just for Windows Phone or Windows devices. Microsoft Azure has something regardless of what device you're targeting or what device you're using. You can build for the platform, which a lot of people don't really think about when they think it's Microsoft's cloud. And with that, if you're running compute workloads and you're running virtual machines in Azure, you can run Linux distributions as well as Windows Server. So a lot of people get confused there and they're like, oh, I thought I could just run Windows. That's not true. So we at Microsoft actually love Linux. You may not know this. Yes, they're a competitor of us on the enterprise side. But about 20% of our compute resources run on Linux VMs. And so in Azure, we support 4 Linux distributions. So if you're running CentOS, SUSE, CoreLogic, Ubuntu, you can actually call up if you have issues and get a Microsoft support person, and they will walk you through troubleshooting your Linux VM. And so we've got 4 supported distributions, as well as 1,000 pre-configured virtual machines in our VM depot. So if you're writing on the mean stack or Ruby and you have a specific need, you can pre-configure a VM, put it up to a VM depot, and then easily launch that into Azure within a few minutes and get that running. So it's very cool. We also have a wide range of support for different databases and different data platforms. So if you're writing relational database, we obviously have support for Microsoft SQL Server. We also have MySQL. And then if you're doing NoSQL offerings like Cassandra, obviously great support with Cassandra, good partner. We have Mongo. Hadoop is support Redis, and so Azure is not just about the Microsoft stack. We've got support and fully embedded support and partners to help us deliver a lot of these, even Oracle, which a lot of people don't think about as well. And also, regardless of the language you write, we've got everything in Azure is based first on a RESTful API. So any language you write, assuming you can call out to HTTP requests, right, you can use any Azure service. Starts with a REST API, and then we add in the portal experience. So if you wanted to create it through a portal, but we also have SDKs available in almost all of the popular languages, such as PHP, Java, Node, Python, Ruby, right? So regardless of what language you're writing, you can consume and leverage Azure for your apps. And then the other thing too is, you know, maybe you are have some services in Amazon or you've got some things in App Engine. The Microsoft Cloud, you can choose services. So let's say you really want to use our machine learning or our Hadoop services, but you want to host your web and database in Amazon. You can do that, right? So Azure allows you to be in multiple clouds. And using Azure Active Directory, if you wanted to provide corporate single sign-on for Salesforce or for any of these offerings, you can use that too. So we partner not only with our own cloud providers, but with other cloud providers to enable you guys to compete and deliver world-class apps to your customers. You know, the slogan right now is the Microsoft Cloud, the most complete cloud. And so I hope you guys see that. And if you have any questions, I'll be around. I've got cards. I do office hours. Love to hear from you guys. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Martin Schrey, who's a startup evangelist here, to tell you quickly about Microsoft BizSpark and then get moving on with the Fireside Chat. Thanks, Martin.
Thank you, Tim. Awesome. So as Tim mentioned, a fair number of you should know me. I hold office hours here at 1871 and have talked to quite a number of startups. One of the things that I talk about, in addition to technical topics of implementing mobile apps or implementing Cloud Act, building for the cloud, is a program we have called BizSpark. And I just want to call out the fact that BizSpark provides a couple interesting things to you. Maybe from an eligibility standpoint, let's cover that, because I'm thinking with startups we'd be pretty safe here. If you're under $1 million in revenue, under 5 years in business, privately held, and it happens that you're developing software or online services, you're eligible. Isn't that fantastic? What do you get now that you're eligible? You actually get kind of what I'll call out on the software side. It's a little washed out here, but $750 a cloud a month, which you might wonder what you can do. You can run a database. You can run a pretty scalable website in $750. It also gives you access to our software. So if you actually are building on .NET, I know Tim mentioned Node and PHP and other languages. Those run great. But if you actually are building on .NET and use Visual Studio, the software is there too. So cloud services and software as well as support. So as Tim mentioned, I'll mention again, if you have interest in Azure and you want to use our BizSpark program, what is it? It's the program that gives you access as a startup to our cloud for free. $750 a month for 3 years. I guess I should mention that. That sounds a lot better. $750. Yeah, a couple people looked up there like, now I'm interested. Okay, that's good. Yes, over 36 months, $750 a cloud each month. Yes. Okay, that's a little bit better. Everybody's like, yeah. All right. So Greg is the CTO of Clear Contract. Greg, why don't you tell us a little bit about Clear Contract and what you guys do?
So Clear Contract is basically a workflow automation platform for contract negotiation. So we handle the big and uglies, the stock purchase agreements, commercial leases, things like that, that are very heavily document intensive, lots of attachments, Excel spreadsheets, PDF drawings, things like that that make up a fairly large contract. And then we provide the workflow automation, getting that between the originator of the document, the leaseholder, the financing parties, the various attorneys are involved. And then around that, we do things like automatic metadata extraction, so you know who did what change, store everything nice and encrypted, keep track of what the appropriate versions are. And then at the end of the day, once you have a document that everybody agrees on, we do automatic approval routing and electronic signatures so you can get to a complete document. There's all kinds of different things around that, including document comparison, so you can ensure you're signing the right version and that all the different clauses you need in that agreement are basically done. So, rather than faxing and emailing documents around and making sure you got the right version, you can use our service and it takes care of all that for you.
Yeah. Faxing, emailing, or overnighting even, right?
Yes, still happens.
Awesome. Okay. Tell me a little bit about your background. I know you're CTO of Clear Contract. Yep. What did you do before this?
So I spent 30 years in technology and technology management. The previous big company I was with, we were a telecommunications service provider, Global. I was the CTO and COO of that. We sold that at the end of 2011. I did another telecom startup, which probably wasn't a really good idea because it's hard to make money in telecom, and started with the guys here doing Clear Contract in December. We've done our initial seed round funding, friends and family, and we're going to be going for our first Series A round probably end of summer.
Fantastic. So from a technology stack standpoint, I think you happen to use Cassandra.
What do you know? We happen to do that.
Kubernetes data stacks. Tell me a little bit about that.
So one of the things that's important to us as we deal with lots of documents, potentially large documents, is being able to do that in a way that supports the replication and all the nice features that come along with the NoSQL database. It is a global platform, so we have instances installed in the US, in Europe, and in Asia. Some of these transactions get to be pretty nasty and ugly, and using a database like Cassandra helps us a lot in facilitating the storage and basically replication of those kinds of data sets.
For a startup like yourself, does DataStax have a program for you to fit into?
So DataStax does. We're in the process of moving over to DataStax Enterprise. We're currently on the public version of Cassandra. The big pull for us, in addition to the startup program, which is a great program, I've talked to the DataStax guys about that. But the introduction of integration with Solr to be able to do full text indexing of the documents we upload is huge. Obviously, as you can imagine, that's a fairly big request we get from our customers. And so that's one of the big reasons we're doing that. Also, being able to access their support structure helps quite a bit as well.
Okay, fantastic. I also, if memory serves, you're on AWS now, but you're in the middle of a migration to Azure. Why don't you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we've been on AWS since probably mid last year, and it works fine. There's some things that we've wanted to do. The bigger thing for us is having a larger number of smaller data center deployments. Microsoft Azure really allows us to do that and do it well. We found it to be a fairly easy transition to make. We're doing actually quite a few transitions right now. We're doing finalizing our baseline code to get to beta by the end of this month. We're doing the conversion to Azure. And we're also doing a migration to DataStax Enterprise, which will start next week. So we've got a lot of irons in the fire right now.
I was going to say, you're pretty busy there.
Yes, we are.
From a standpoint of moving from AWS to Azure, what's kind of like one of the biggest things that differences or things that you've kind of had to learn, and how did you build momentum while doing that?
So probably the biggest thing is just the difference in nomenclature. Obviously, I've done AWS for probably over 8 years now. And so I know the nomenclature and the architecture fairly intimately. And Azure has all the same things by and large. It's just that they're called different things. They're put together in different ways. Once you get past that, it's very easy to do. And there's some aspects of Azure that I actually like better than Amazon. The PowerShell integration, being able to automate a lot of the deployment tasks very, very easily just by writing PowerShell scripts is really nice. We've actually found running some test loads on our Cassandra database that we're getting slightly better transactions per second for the same VM instance cost that we were on AWS, largely due to the IOs per second you can provision on those VMs. But other than that, it's been fairly painless.
Okay. And from a TEP, you've talked a little bit about the database side of things. See, my mic is perfectly placed.
Of course it is.
There we go. Now, right in the center. Now I forgot my question. Can you believe that? No, I'm messing around here, and I forgot my question. So you're moving to Azure, yep, and you're on Cassandra. From a dev language kind of and platform perspective, tell us what OS are you using an application server?
So we're primarily on Ubuntu right now. We'll probably stay there. We've had conversations about moving to Windows Server. We have some of our workflow tasks that need to be done on Windows Server simply because of our integration with Microsoft Office. So a couple of those deployed, but by and large, the majority of the business logic is written in Java running on Glassfish right now. We have a REST front end that interfaces to our Angular front end. And that's been moving over pretty seamlessly.
Okay. And from an Azure perspective, running Java, no, it's pretty seamless.
It worked. Okay. You didn't have to do anything. Just spin up the instances, install the OS, get everything configured, and it should work. You didn't have any oh crap moments, and happy.
That's good. Any other kind of comments? I'll open it up for a question or two from the audience as well, so I don't monopolize things. Any other kind of closing comments before I do that?
The biggest thing for me would be to make sure you take advantage of the support Microsoft provides you. There's a lot of great tutorials and things like that out there that you can get at speed much quicker than you can if you just like beating your head against the wall. They also have a lot of great support people on the other end of the phone if you want to do email or phone calls. Take advantage of it because it works great.
Fantastic. So any questions for Greg? Hometown Chicago CTO.
How large is detecting?
Let me repeat it. So the question was, how large is the tech team that you have that's actually making this transition from AWS to Azure?
There's two of us.
They're super productive.
We're really busy.
Really busy. Any other questions for Greg? So the question, hold on, the question, I just want to repeat it because we're recording it, so you'll be, you know, you'll live in infamy then. So the question was, as you're moving from AWS to Azure, what metrics are you looking at to ensure that things are going well, you're progressing well? Is that the question? Yeah.
So DataStax has a tool called OpsCenter, which helps you manage basically your Cassandra or DSE cluster. We use that quite a bit. Obviously, there's the general purpose, you know, load management tools. Microsoft has a great GUI, if you want to look at it that way. Besides that, we do some basically custom work on the back end to collect performance metrics, and then we look at that. We've got some alarm threshold set up right now that we basically monitor all the instances using basically homegrown stuff.